Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Low Carbon Paleo Show. Coming up, we have a woman who's battling deadly brain cancer using the ketogenic diet. And later on, Alan will be showing us how to eat paleo on a budget. We'll also be looking at our favourite low-carb websites, and we'll have a book review from Alan this week as well. Hello and welcome again to the Low Carbon Paleo Show. I'm joined in the studio today with my co-host, Alan Brough.
Hello everybody, good morning, and I hope you're doing well. And we have a lot to talk about today. So what's in the news today, Mark?
As I mentioned earlier, there's a story that's been floating around the web for a little while about a young lady called Alex Hayden. Now, she has had a deadly brain cancer, but rather than go through the usual chemo and radiotherapy, she's decided to tackle it by just changing her diet. Apparently, she's been following a ketogenic diet, which, as many of you know, is a low-carb, high-fat diet, since about February 2013. And this has apparently halted her cancer in its tracks. This is because all the cells in our body can use both fat and glucose, but cancer cells can only thrive on glucose and can't survive on ketones. So by limiting carbohydrates, which turns into glucose inside the body, we can starve cancer cells.
When you say high fat, that is as opposite to low fat, which is trying to cut as much fat or just allowing a normal amount of butter and olive oil, coconut oil, you know, just normal amounts. Or do you actually force the amount of fats and eat more than one person usually would?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the ketogenic diet is actually a high-fat diet. It's typically 60 to 70% or more of what you eat is fat.
Wow.
And even the protein is cut down quite a lot, simply because the body can use that for its energy. And providing you're getting the other nutrients that the body needs from the rest of what you eat, then many people who follow it find that they thrive on it.
So, for example, what are we talking about? Eating a stick of butter every day, or typically? I mean, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around it because I believe in balanced diets, no matter what kind of diet you do.
Yeah.
That is a reasonable amount of a combination of different ingredients, which is a very French way of looking at things. Balance. So you have a little protein, a little vegetables, a little fruits, a little fat, a little bit of everything, a little bit of sugar if you know, although it's not necessarily needed. But so for me to ingest that much fat sounds kind of gross.
I think it depends on what form it's in. If you consider, like, I mean, I cook everything virtually in butter. Unless I'm doing something a little bit exotic, then I'll use coconut oil. And I eat probably a lot more fat than most people. I wouldn't say I'm on the ketogenic diet simply because I don't need to be on that. You know, my health is excellent the way it is. I've got my diet to the place where my body's happy with it.
Okay.
But obviously, each of us are different. In general, the ketogenic diet is ideal for weight loss, ideal for ongoing, you know, getting those last few pounds off, but many, many people find that they actually thrive on it more than any other type of diet. And I think a lot of that depends, you know, simply on the way that each of us are. We're all different.
Okay. I mean, it's a completely foreign concept for me because I'm a tendency to believe that any kind of extreme diet is not healthy for the body.
Yeah.
The body is trying to stay in equilibrium. Yeah. And so when you push too hard one way or another, there's a chance of unbalancing the body. For example, what kind of effects has a ketogenic diet on eliminating like liver and kidneys and all that? Is there kind of a negative effect
none
on
at all.
That?
No, none at all. I think the thing to remember is that, I mean, let's take the extreme of a high carbohydrate diet. Carbs are very difficult for the body. It actually digests them too easily, but it's very difficult for the body to actually get adequate nutrients from carbohydrates.
Yeah, it it's basically devoid of nutrients and it also creates havoc with your blood sugar levels.
Exactly.
It stores as fat and so on and so forth. So yeah, I know of that. Of course, you can always use sweeteners that are quote unquote healthier, like honey, and actually bring you some nutrients with them.
Yeah.
But typically, refined sugar or refined grains typically are not healthy. Yeah. That's for sure.
But the difference with the ketogenic diet is instead of the body getting its energy the way it does conventionally by burning glucose, it gets its energy by burning fat. So if you're getting energy from the fat, you obviously need to consume more fat in order to give the body adequate energy. So that fat becomes your energy source. And the rest of the diet is the part that makes up the other vital nutrients that the body needs in order to remain healthy.
Okay.
So I suspect many people in the low-carb and paleo world would probably be happy with eating up to 30% fat.
Right.
Or maybe even more.
Well, I'm also sure that on the strict paleo tend to have a higher fat content in their food than less strict, like the athletes. The athletes will probably eat proteins with fat, so they're not like low-fat cuts of meats, or they're just, you know, the full amount. So they typically would get higher fat content in their food than the less hardcore people. So that would be closer to what you're saying, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a, when it comes to paleo, I'm kind of a middle of the road. I mean, I'm not taking in proteins every single meal.
No.
I do get what I feel is enough for my body, but I'm not going to eat excess proteins because I know it's bad for my kidneys, for one, and then could eventually, you know, give me gout and all these other issues. So, you know, again, I'm balanced. I try to balance my diet to have a little bit of everything, plus, you know, what we say in French, variety is the spice of life.
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah.
If you have a diet that focuses only one or two or three things and nothing else, then it gets boring very easily.
Yeah, this is very true. Coming up, Alan and I are going to look at our favorite websites of the week. I should start off this week. My favorite website of the week is actually an old one. Many of you will have visited it. Many of you will have got some really good information from it, and that is good old Jimmy Moore's Living La Vida Low Carb. It was a goodie, and it's still a goodie now. Yes, Jimmy has come on in leaps and bounds in the last few years. His knowledge of low carb is probably some of the best in the world, I would say. And if you've got something you want to find out about, then Jimmy is your guy, and Living La Vida Low Carb is a great place to find out about it. Alan, what's your pick of the week?
Well, my current favorite paleo author and practitioner, his name is Chris Kresser, and his book is Your Personal Paleo Code. What I like about him is that next to some other names, he's more balanced in his choice when it comes to paleo. He understands that we all have a life that we have to deal with, and I like his common sense approach. He also is, being a doctor, he's also giving you the scientific approach to paleo, but he's not beating you over the head with it. His book is Your Paleo Code, Your Personal Paleo Code. That is, you adapt your paleo diet to your what your body likes and what your body feels right about, because we all have different likes and dislikes when it comes to food and diets. And as long as you stay within the general guideline, he's not against, you know, getting off a little bit here and there, as long as you stay happy with the diet in general.
Excellent.
So his website is chriskresser.com.
Okay, we'll put a link for that in the program notes under the program. So, Alan, you've got something that you wanted to chat about today. You were concerned that many people thought that paleo and low carb were expensive. Do you think that's true?
Well, if you're strict about it, it could be daunting, because some people advocate, some hardcore people advocate you eat protein at every meal, which can be very taxing on a budget. I personally prefer to recommend my clients that they get enough protein during the day to support the body needs, but not more, because when you have too much proteins, then it could tax your digestive system and your kidneys and other organs that we all need to live on. Mm. So keeping that in mind, I'm not advocating 100% protein at every meal kind of diet.
Mm. So what would be a typical meal then for, from your point of view?
Well, because I'm, being French, I'm frugal. And so some of the tricks that I use is I use lower priced meats, either the lower, what some people would consider lower quality. But if you're a mom and you have three kids and a husband to feed, you know you're not going to go for the tenderloin for every meal because you can't afford it. So you buy meats for stews and soups and slow cookers, like a stew meat, chuck roast, beef shanks, and so on and so forth. If you like pork, you can do barbecues, slow cooked barbecues, briskets, ribs, and roast, of course, roasts. The roasts go a long way because you can make three or four meals out of them. Mm. One thing that my mom used to do, and she would buy a roast, and then we'd eat a couple of meals out of that. And then with the leftovers, she would grind them up and then make a hachis parmentier. I think you call that shepherd pie. So ground meat sautéed with onions, garlic, a little bit of salt and spices. And then you layer that with mashed potatoes. Mm. And then you top it off with a nice melting cheese like a Gruyere or Asiago cheese. And then you gratiné, and it's a wonderful meal.
Yes.
And it's a cheap. It's a cheap meal because you're basically using leftovers, and potatoes are not expensive.
Of course, if you want to do a low-carb version of that, you can use mashed cauliflower. That's really tasty.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Other ways to lower your cost of buying proteins is, of course, buy what's on sale. So you wait for a special sale, look at the coupons book and see what's on sale at that particular moment in your grocery store. Mm. You could also buy in bulk at the big stores like Walmart and Costco and the wholesalers. And you could also share the cost with your neighbors. You know, sometimes you go to these stores and you can only buy by the, 5 or 10 pounds. Well, you can always split that up with your neighbors and split the cost. So that's another way.
Yeah.
Another idea is, a friend of mine told me about this just a few weeks ago. What can be done here in Texas, at least, I don't know in the rest of the country or in England, but you can buy a cow.
Yes. Yeah. You can.
You buy a cow. You buy the whole cow. You go to the farmer. You buy the whole cow. You get together with 4, 6 to 8 people, friends of yours. You buy the whole cow, the farmer grows it for you, and of course you have to pay for the feed and some other expenses. And then when the cow is big enough, then they would kill it, butcher it, and then split the meat amongst everyone fairly. You know, not everyone, you'll get a little bit of everything. From, like we say in France, from nose to tail. And then you freeze the meat and then use it as needed.
Yeah,
and your cow has been. As long as you pick the right farmer, of course, the cow has been most likely fed on grass, so it's very healthy. Most likely hasn't been pumped up with antibiotics and growth hormones. As long as you make sure they don't do it, so don't go to the big suppliers, just a smaller farmer. You can do this also that further, with a pig or even with poultry if you want them to raise a turkey for you for Thanksgiving. That's another way to do it. Another way to keep your price in line is, of course, buy in season, which is very common in Europe, but it's not so in America, where they have it so easy to buy anything any time of the year that they lose track of what's in season and what's cheapest, what's... also the freshest and the tastiest at the time, because if it's in season, the price will automatically drop. If you import strawberries from Chile, it's going to be a lot more, in January, it's going to be a lot more expensive than buying strawberries in full season locally for about one third of the cost. So keep that in mind to buy in season. Another way is to buy directly from your farmers. You can buy either through the local farmers market. Little trick that I use sometimes is I wait until the last 30 minutes of the market, and then I would ask for a special price and say, hey, you're going to take that home or do you want to sell it to me for a lower price? And, you know, they really don't want to take it back home because, you know, they won't be able to sell it next week. And, you know, that's you may not get the choices you want, but that's another way to do it.
That's really very cheeky, though, isn't it?
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do to survive, right?
Yeah.
Another good way, which is very popular in America, and I suspect it's popular in England too, is what is called a CSA. Do you know what that is?
Nope, no idea.
Okay, CSA is a community-supported agriculture, which is you have farms that sell shares of their crops to people like you and I. So you pay a certain amount per month, anywhere from $30 to $50 a month, and you get a basket of goodies every week.
Oh, right, yes, okay, yeah.
And it could be either delivered or you pick it up at the farm, or you could be arranged for one person to go pick it up and then distribute it to the neighbors. There are also, at least here in Austin, there's services that will actually do that for you. They will pick it up at the farmer and they will bring it to your home. Of course, you pay an extra fee for that. So these are kind of, go back to what I was saying earlier, you will always get the freshest food because it's typically been picked the same morning. It's in season, so it's full of vitamin and mineral. It's very healthy. And you get a nice variety of fruits and vegetables, and sometimes they even throw in some goodies like cookies or a jar of honey or something else, part of your package.
That can't be bad. That can't be bad at all.
Okay, so that's one of my favorite ways to do it.
Excellent.
A couple of other ideas. Unlike what people might think, you do not have to buy everything fresh. As long as the quality is there, you could buy frozen organic fruits.
Oh, yeah.
And because they've been picked right there and frozen right away, in most cases, they're actually better quality or better freshness than if it's been sitting on the shelf or it's been in the truck, traveled from California. Right? So that's something to keep in mind. So frozen fruits and vegetables, if you want to do smoothies, and if it's not strawberry season, you still can buy frozen organic strawberries or blueberries, and you can still have your smoothies, and it'll still be good. Okay. As far as quality is concerned, you know, some of the purists will say, "Well, I only eat like grass-fed and free-range and certified organic." You don't have to do that. I mean, I would suggest that in some case, yeah, put your money where your mouth is, but in some case, pick your battles. Allow your budget to buy something on the lower price range that is not toxic or bad for you, and then spend a little more money on the quality meat, for example, but reduce the serving. That's another trick, too, is reduce the serving. So, again, depending on how hardcore you are on your diet, instead of eating a 1 pound steak, just use a 4 ounce serving per person, and that plus a couple of eggs, and you have enough proteins for the whole day.
Excellent.
The last trick I have is the obvious one, but not so obvious in some places, is cook yourself. Cook your own food. Hello. Well, you know, for some people I know, and I won't name names, some people I know, their favorite way of eating is to buy everything prepared and cooked and go to the restaurants five nights out of the week and, you know, take out food. And that's expensive. It's always expensive.
It is, yeah.
Now, keep in mind that in restaurant business, your food costs average about 30%. So basically what you're paying is you're paying an extra 60-something percent to support the restaurant, which is normal business. But It doesn't mean you have to pay that much. You could just buy the food yourself and cook it yourself.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of people think, oh, you know, cooking is so hard, but it doesn't have to be complicated. The recipe could be simple and quick and fresh. It's a matter of learning how to cook your own food simply. It doesn't have to be fancy French food.
No.
Just keep things, you know, like roasting or grilling, steaming. You can do soups and stews. I mean, just put everything in one pot and you know, cook it for 2 hours and it'll be good. Nothing has to be super fancy every time. Any mom would tell you that. There's no way she can cook a fancy meal every time.
No.
So keep it simple. Keep it reasonable and cut your food costs down to one third of what you'd pay by going out. Just take some cooking classes and it'll save you a lot of money in the long term.
Okay. Well, I think we've probably got enough there for 5 programs.
Well, you know. I'll let you work on that part.
Okay. You're just too kind. On to our listeners' questions. One that's come in is, do I need to eat every 2 hours or can I eat a few larger meals? Well, my take on that is that you really should eat to satisfy your level of hunger. So, you know, the simple rule I have is that if you're hungry, eat, but don't eat so much that you're going to stuff yourself. Eat a bit less and it gives your body, and then give your body 10 or 15 minutes to respond. You'll quickly find that, you know, it'll start to tell you to stop before you think you should. Now, if you're not getting to this effect, then you're not doing your low-carb or even your paleo diet properly. To be honest, the longer I've been doing low-carb, the more I've noticed that I've had to consistently reduce the portions that I eat over time, simply because my body is far more satisfied with the food that I'm giving it. Alan, what's your take on that?
Well, I have heard some nutrition mention that you should eat smaller meals at a regular time. And I've always, being French and raised on 3 meals a day, I always found that to be ridiculous. But it's also an indication that the people that eat those kind of meals tend to feed themselves on carbs. Because mm-hmm. if you eat carbs, after a couple of hours, you're going to lose energy, your blood sugar level will drop, you go into hypoglycemia, and you will need to eat something to support your energy level. Mm. So my suggestion is, instead of eating a very sugary, typical breakfast with cereals and orange juice and milk, all of these loaded with sugar, one form or another, eat more protein in the morning will give you a much long time energy, so you can actually live without having to take a sugary snack at 10 or 11 in the morning and another one at 3 in the afternoon. If you eat a satisfying meal morning, lunch and evening, then your body should not need to eat as often or every couple of hours as some people suggest.
Yeah, so I mean, it's low carb, relatively high protein, reasonable quantity of fat, that sort of thing. Yeah.
That should feed you. That should feed your body, and then you will not. Of course, you can't dismiss. Sometimes we have bad habits. You know, we do it out of patterns.
Mm.
Well, it's 10 a.m. No matter what, I will get a cookie. Even if you're, if you're not hungry, it's just we do these kind of things. You know, we're humans after all. So try to replace the cookie by a handful of nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Or some protein, maybe even protein bar instead of a cookie.
That works for me. Well, we're coming near enough to the end of the program. A quick shout out to the people who've liked our page recently. We've got Tang Lupo, Louis Lupo, Christian Agnes Foulet, John Gerard Angelo, Ida Tai Payson, Aki Galay, Stephanie Aguide, Aurora Taipason, and last but by no means least, Lan Galay. Don't forget, if you do want to hear your name on the programme, do like our page on Facebook, and that is at lowcarbpaleoshow.com, or you can find us on Facebook directly by looking for Low Carb Paleo Show. Well, hope you've enjoyed this week's program. We'll be back again next week with another good round of news, views, reviews, stories, questions, and we should be starting Tip of the Week next week as well. Look forward to seeing you then.
Au revoir.
Cheerio.